But even when I am afraid, I keep on trusting you. I praise your promises. I trust you and am not afraid. No one can harm me. Enemies spend the whole day finding fault with me. All they think about is how to do me harm. They attack from ambush, watching my every step and hoping to kill me. They won't get away with these crimes, God, because when you get angry, you bring down the nations. You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them. When I pray, Lord God, my enemies will retreat because I know for certain that you are with me. I praise your promises. I trust you and am not afraid. No one can harm me. I will keep my promises to you, my God, and bring you gifts. You protected me from death and kept me from stumbling so that I would please you and follow the light that leads to life. May God bless the reading and discerning of God's word. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask in moments when fear would encroach and even seem to overtake us, that we remember where we would call and who we would call, where we would go and where we would seek refuge. Remind us of your unfailing strength and your unending love. Strengthen us in our moments of weakness and even uncertainty by your strong and sustaining hand. We ask it in the name of the one who personifies perfect love, for perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Well, some of our cultural holidays have different sort of overarching themes. We celebrated Mother's Day not that long ago, and of course the loving and wonderful sentiments that we all seek to express on that occasion are made even more evident by flowers and candy and dinner reservations and all those things we equate with celebrating motherhood. And we make the attempt to do such on Father's Day. We make the attempt to extend our sentiments in the same vein, but we all know that certainly there are some different dynamics. One of the things I think that we certainly lay claim to on Father's Day is we seek to idealize what fatherhood looks like. And one of the kind of sustained and current themes when you think about fatherhood is wisdom. Certainly. A steadiness of hand, certainly. Strength, certainly. Protection, certainly. Those are the things, whether they are spoken or implied, that oftentimes are equated with the concept of fatherhood. So maybe on Father's Day, We recollect, we remember those kinds of images, and maybe they give us encouragement and comfort. I had the incredible blessing on last week of spending some just amazing, wonderful time with my family down in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the things that we did, we were able, because we gathered, and my great-grandfather was the progenitor of all of the folk who had gathered there in the same place. And it was a wonderful thing to be able to look back to this one particular person who embodied strength and steadiness of hand and celebrate their life, but also celebrate being gathered together. So when we think about fatherhood, we can think about those elements that make us understand strength and wisdom. But if we are honest, we know that strength and fearlessness and the steadiness of hand that we might seek to celebrate on a day like today are not always what's in place, either in our own lives, those of us who are blessed with the mantle of fatherhood, or for that matter, anyone. So on a day when we think about what it means to have a steady and strong hand and to stand in the face of those things that would invoke fear, maybe the realistic thing for us to do for just a moment is to consider how we grapple with that fear. This psalm is a psalm of David. And it was written by David when he was being, as it's quite evident, pursued by his enemies. And if you listen to the psalm and you think about what's going on in David's life, there really are two things that are happening. Yes, David is proclaiming a faith in God and a faith in God that anchors and overwhelms and overcomes fear. But at the same time, David is doing, I think, what sometimes we do in fearful situations. David's trying to convince himself to overcome fear. He's trying to convince himself that in a fretful and fearful moment, he's able to reach and hold on to God's unchanging hand. So maybe the most effective way to understand what's going on in this passage and understand how it applies to our lives is to go ahead and make the admission that sometimes, maybe more often than not, we experience, we are enveloped by, we are overtaken by real fear. The other morning, I should say the other afternoon, I was reminded that living in America in the first throes of the 21st century, for some people, is perilous and fearful. 2 years ago, we stood in numbed shock as we considered the fact that at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, a vicious and heinous act of mass murder by a domestic terrorist unfolded. And just the other day, whether you realized it or not, we were reminded once again that it is a fearful proposition to walk, live, and move while being a young black man in America. Philando Castile, killed in July of 2016 by a police officer as he fervently tried to explain to that police officer that he was complying and wanted to make sure the police officer knew that he was licensed to carry the weapon that was in the car and made sure that the police officer understood, but nevertheless was murdered by that police officer. No conviction. Terrence Crutcher, no conviction. Sandra Bland, no conviction. Mike Brown, no conviction. Rekia Boyd, no conviction. Sean Bell, no conviction. Tamir Rice, no conviction. Freddie Gray, no conviction. Dan Royal Henry, no conviction. Kendrick McDade, no conviction. Ayanna Jones, no conviction. Ramarley Graham, no conviction. Amadou Diallo, no conviction. Trayvon Martin, no conviction. We need to understand that it is not irrational. It's not anchored in fake news to understand a real element of fear that can and in many respects does overtake so many. And not only is it hard to reckon with the realities of these unrequited killings, but the fact that we live in a context where the unsettled business, the unsettled, ugly business of race in America still divides us and in some respects tears us apart. The other day in Arizona, the Southern Baptist Convention, they passed a resolution condemning alt-right racism. And you may applaud and say that's wonderful, but bear in mind that that resolution was only passed after the original resolution was ignored, and a brouhaha resulted in that. And because of that, there was strenuous debate. Hear me now. There was strenuous debate on the floor of the Southern Baptist Convention as to whether or not they would condemn racism. How does it take debate? How does it take argumentation to decide that you would do the Jesus thing? So here's my point as we begin. When you consider the environment that surrounds us, and when you consider that the atmosphere of divisiveness and even hatred is fueled from rhetoric in high places, it's not unreasonable for folk to have sentiments not unlike what David has in this psalm. My enemies chase me all day. Many of them are pursuing and attacking me. But even when I am afraid, I keep on trusting you. Maybe the most powerful thing about this that we should grapple with is that God does not remove us from the context of those things that induce fear. Listen to me now. I think some people would have us to think that we somehow serve a snap your fingers God, and that we're removed from situations of adversity, we're removed from situations of pain and calamity, we're removed from situations of difficulty. But no, God is not a God who removes us from the valley. God is a God who is with us in the valley. And the way to overcome the true reality of fear is to understand that when you are in those fearful places, the very same God that David extols, the very same God that never lets go of the hands of those who love and serve him, is the very same God you can call on in those fearful places. The real question is, how do I deal with my real fear? Fear of the unknown, fear of the unfair, fear of the unexpected, but sometimes fear of the expected, fear of the known, fear of the ways in which life unfolds. Sometimes we need to realize that even though the world swirls around us in ways that are oftentimes bigger than us to be able to comprehend, we have a God whose power and presence overrides and overarches and overwhelms the adversities that might otherwise defeat us. We have a God who knows and understands that the valley, yes, is perilous, But the wondrous thing is God's promise is to stay with us in the valley. So I can't guarantee you, I'm sorry, my apologies. You pulled up in the wrong place on this Sunday morning if you thought I was going to tell you that in some way we could banish all uncertainty, we could banish all fearfulness, we could banish all adversity. No, I'm not here to tell you that. But what I am here to tell you is that when adversity comes, when difficulty comes, the same God who gave strength to those who went before us is the same God who is with us now. I mentioned that I was gathered with family this past weekend, and it was wonderful and just a loving time, and seeing some relatives that I hadn't seen for many, many, many years, but yet at the same time, still the immediacy of that connectedness was so wonderful. And as I said a little while ago, we talked. We talked about the mutual history of our family, and we talked about those who had gone before us. And one of the things that was most strengthening and most empowering was as we transposed, as we laid the biographies of our predecessors across the context of their time and their place and their space, we realized something, that in many respects, they had adversities and difficulties that we in this day and age, even on our worst of days, could not comprehend, but yet they stood faithful. We understood that there were moments of unfairness, moments of institutionalized unfairness, that they were able to not only survive, but in the midst of that, even thrive. So I'm here this morning to tell you that it's all right to reckon with your fears. Or maybe it's counterintuitive to a Father's Day morning to not simply talk about strength and wisdom and steadiness of hand, but what I'd like to be able to say is that maybe the life lesson that I can best transpose to my children and anybody who I might engage with in a fatherly context is not so much that you ought not to be afraid, but that when you are afraid, God hears you, God sees you, God lays claim to you, and God holds you, and God will not let you go. So we understand this morning that the antidote to being overwhelmed and overtaken and overcome by fear is, as the psalmist says, to trust, to abide, to live within the framework of God's loving kindness and care, and to know that God understands our fears and our frailties even better than we do. Did you hear what the psalmist said in verse 8? You have kept record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them. So I know that I can come to God with even the fears that are most deep set in the deep recesses of who I am. Maybe those fears and those frailties that I don't want to share with anybody else. But I know a God who knows me intimately well. He has stored each of my tears in his bottle. So, the lesson for us today is not to run from the realities of fear, because yes, there will be unknown elements that unfold in front of each of our lives. Yes, there will be, as we see day in and day out, unfair realities that exert themselves upon us. Yes, the unexpected, and yes, even the expected can give us pause and can even induce fear. But like the psalmist, know that when you are in that valley, not only do you have a God who's acquainted with you, not only do you have a God who's aware of who you are, But you have a God who has accounted for every tear, every moment of pain and sorrow, and every moment of fear. So, perfect love, made complete in the Christ, perfect love, made real as we live out our lives, declaring and giving breath to the gospel, perfect love, when we seek to be the Jesus people that we're called to be in spite of what swirls around us, perfect love. Maybe the antidote is this. Maybe when we become so busy seeking the love, so busy seeking to lift up those who've been cast down, so busy seeking to give assurance to those who have lost assurance, so busy in a world that is bereft of compassion. Maybe when we become preoccupied, so busy with that perfection of love, we'll be too busy to worry about being afraid. Let the church say amen.